I know there's a couple other people that had said they were going to come today, but as I told DJ, I think it probably has to do with the weather. So,
yeah.
So Lord, we do pray for all of those who would find this weather challenging. We just pray for your protection upon them. And especially those who are in situations that they would be either compromised or even in danger for their protection. Lord, those who we know live around here, they're basically homeless. You protect them. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Well, as we're definitely under the limit for the 8:30 service, but let's remember that with our hearts and our spirits, we join together with the millions, 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 countless numbers of saints and believers that have gone before us, that are rejoicing at this moment in the beatific vision, in a reality that is more real than looking at your hand in front of your face.
Amen.
So let's take a moment to ask the Lord to reveal anything that may be on our hearts that may keep us from Him, and we'll say the confession together.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Gosh, I don't believe I'm gonna come.
Let us pray together with confidence for the forgiveness of our sins. Most merciful God,
I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what I have done and by what I have left undone, I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I am truly sorry, and I humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. So you got a couple of songs.
Okay. I wasn't sure how much time I was going to.
Oh, we were going to say this, weren't we?
Yeah. What, you want to sing
let's
it?
Go ahead and proclaim the glory.
You want to sing
glory
it?
Glory to God. Were you going to sing it?
We can.
Okay.
All right.
Let's sing it.
Thank you. defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle, and he never will. Oh, he never will. Oh, he never will.
I feel like the Lord has put a word on their heart.
And there were places that you were able to go over, places that you were able to get around, but that it was like this staircase to get people to where to where they can get to a higher place. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn in the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us now give our attention to the reading of God's holy word.
Amen. All right, first reading is Acts 2, verses 22 through 28. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
New Testament reading today is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading. The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut from the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you repent the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nail, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
mic is pointing on. I'm going to turn it on here in just a second. What I'm going to do is just kind of walk around. I realized I was a little bit in a rush this morning, and I had hiked out some stuff. Left in the car.
So good morning.
Good morning.
So I realize for anybody who's not going to be here today is not going to hear the scriptures proclaimed. So if you're not here, I would encourage you to go look at the readings today, because it'll certainly make a whole lot more sense in light of anything that I believe the Lord wants me to share today. First thing I wanted to do was just real briefly read that first, or rather that second reading from 1 Peter again. Because I think that's the foundation of everything that the Lord wants us to hear today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I believe that's one of those passages that if we were to even read on a daily basis could be such a source of comfort to us. It's the already and the not yet. And that's a little bit about what I wanted to share this morning, about the already and the not yet. So what I wanted to do was say a little bit about the first reading, to begin with that, from Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, verses 28 to 36. Or I guess it's 28 to 28, or 22 to 28. And this sermon of Peter's is the very first sermon immediately following Pentecost. And what I wanted to do was just to back up for a moment to fill in a couple of places before we look at this sermon of Peter's. And as I said at the beginning, to have that first reading, or I'm sorry, the second reading from Peter to be a foundation of everything that we need to be praying that goes to a deep, deep place within us. So Jesus had arisen from the dead, and he appeared to the disciples over a 40-day period. And at the end of that period, before he ascended into heaven, he told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait until the power from on high, until they would be endued with this power from on high. And of course, what he was referring to was the sending of the Holy Spirit. So they headed back to Jerusalem. Jesus ascended, and they were there for 9 days in Jerusalem. And at this point, there's 120 of them gathered in the upper room, men and women. And on the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, which would ever be changed, the Holy Spirit descended upon them, wind and fire, and they began to be filled to overflowing, and they come bursting out of that upper room, where not that many days earlier they'd been locked in there out of fear. And they come out and they start proclaiming the wonderful works of God to Jews that have gathered from all over the known world for the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And they marvel at what they are hearing. And apparently things calmed down a little bit, because Peter was able to give his first sermon. And in the midst of that, it was the very first crusade, and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ that day. But I want to back up again and even put a couple of other things in context before we look at some of the stuff that Peter had to say in this first sermon. That when Jesus arose, he appeared to Mary Magdalene and to some of the other women. Then he appeared to two of the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And then he appeared to the 10. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But on the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're walking along and Jesus catches up with them and he asks them what it is that they are discussing as they go their way. And they're very distraught about all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus asked them, what things? And they're a bit incredulous because they can't believe that he would be the only one in Jerusalem that wouldn't know what had just transpired. And so they talk about Jesus, all the things that he had said and he did. But then he got betrayed, was arrested, was tried, was crucified, died, and put in a tomb. And they heard this tale from some women that he had risen. And they were just having a hard time getting their heads wrapped around it. And Jesus says to them something like, "O foolish ones, how slow it is that you are to believe all that Moses and the prophets spoke about what the Christ would have to go through, because this was all in the Word." And so they're getting close to Emmaus, and it's late, and they ask Jesus, "Won't you stay with us?" So Jesus agrees, and apparently they sit down, and in the moment of the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened, and they see who he is, and he vanishes from their sight. And Emmaus is 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they run back to Jerusalem. And they see the other disciples, and they tell them that Christ has arisen. They've seen him, and they say, "Yeah, we have seen him too." And so they share all of these testimonies about what they had seen and what they had experienced. And so Jesus again appears to them, and remember, he had been doing this over a 40-day period. And he's got all of them together, and he begins to open up the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses, the 5 books of the Pentateuch, beginning with all the prophets, the major and the minor prophets, and the Psalms, about all those passages that pointed to him. And he opens up their hearts and their minds, strengthening their spirits with an understanding of a word, of the words of the scriptures that they were familiar with, but they had never made the connections. And just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, undoubtedly their hearts were warmed as he explained the word to them. So when we look at Peter's first sermon, he could have been led to pick any passage to choose from that the Lord would give to him that first sermon after Pentecost. But the passage he was led to was from the official prayer book of the church. It's been the official prayer book for the last 2,000 years, and I guess if you could push it, you could even say the last 3,500 years. And that was the book of Psalms, the official prayer book of the church. And he could have been led to focus on any one of those 150 psalms, but the one he was led to was Psalm 16. And that's the psalm we have for today, is Psalm 16. And the whole thing that Peter has to say in that first sermon, even though he targets some other passages, for example, from Joel and even Psalm 110, but the passage we have today is from that Psalm 16. And Peter directly quotes from the last 4 verses of that psalm, verses 8 through 11. And the gist of that passage is is that the one who's being written about, and remember, David is the one writing it, and little did David know that the words he would be writing and speaking and having been given coming from his heart was truly prophetic. And to think that these words that he penned would be given at Pentecost. And so the gist of this passage is the one who's being written about will be led on this path of life. And he will not be left in Sheol. His body will not undergo corruption. And he will find himself seated at the right hand of the Lord, where there will be pleasures and joy forevermore. And so Peter is sharing this message in the midst of Christ having to go through all of this, seemingly to have been a failure with the crucifixion and showing it's anything but that to the Jews that were gathered. And so it's marvelous, marvelous good news. And so when you and I look at that passage and collapse the distance between ourselves and the word that we hear today, remembering that every time the word is proclaimed in our midst, it comes alive in the present moment. As Christians, we say that when we accept Jesus into our heart, we become a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That we're seated in him, Ephesians 2:6. That we're hidden in him, Colossians 3:3. That the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in Christ, Galatians 2:20. And so in the midst of that, we recognize that our story has now become his story. And so we are in Christ. And so in the midst of that, we can go back to Psalm 16, collapse that distance, and realize the path that we are on is a path of life that Christ is walking out in us and through us with that assurance that we will never, ever be left in Sheol, that our body will not see corruption because we will rise. And because we are in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, we too will be right there at the right hand of the Father, seated and hidden in him, where there will be pleasures and joy and so much more forever and evermore. That's the hope and the good news of the gospel. And somehow, those Jews that were gathered around must have been so touched that at one point they cry out, "What are we to do?" And that's part of Peter's sermon that we will get next week. But I just wanted to initially lay that foundation from that 1 Peter 1, 3-9, and then having said something about Peter's first sermon, in particular targeting Psalm 16. But I want to leave that for a moment and look at the gospel, where Jesus appeared to the 10, remembering that Judas was no longer around, no longer there, and Thomas wasn't there now either. It's just the 10. Jesus appears. He shows them his wounds. They believe. They're amazed. As Luke says, disbelieving for joy. And then Jesus leaves. Thomas comes back later. And they tell Thomas all that they had seen and heard. They give their testimony, and Thomas cannot get his head wrapped around it. He just can't. He can't believe it. And even though Thomas has seen so many things just like them, he just can't wrap his head around this. And I was thinking about this, and I think that Thomas probably may have been the very first Christian that came up with a hypothesis. And if you remember what a hypothesis is, it's an if-then statement. That may be simplifying it, but that's what it is. That's what a hypothesis is an if-then statement. If this, then that. So Thomas, in essence, says, if and only if Jesus appears again, and if I can see the nail holes and the hole in his side, and I can probe them, if and only then will I believe. And so 8 days later, and remember the number 8 is very, very significant in the scriptures because it always means a new beginning. So as an aside, remember that when you accepted Christ into your heart, it was on the 8th day. Remember when you were baptized, regardless of the day of the week, the day of the year, it was on the 8th day because it was a new beginning. And so on the 8th day, Jesus appears again. And he says to Thomas not to persist in his unbelief. And Thomas falls down and worships him and makes that incredible proclamation of faith, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but how blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And with Thomas following down and worshiping the Lord, remember the passages that it's mentioned 3 times in the scriptures. Every knee shall bow, every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. So as I try to bring this to a bit of a conclusion, which means I don't have 20 minutes left, but just a couple. My question is, why wasn't Thomas there? Where was he? What was he doing? I could be somewhat glib and say, was he off pondering intimacy with the Lord? Was he planning revival? Hardly. Why didn't he show up? Why wasn't he there? And I suppose that we could speculate till the cows come home as to why he wasn't there. Why he wasn't with the other disciples. So what I think of in regards to even what we're going through, and maybe not everybody is experiencing this, but what we're going through in this season in which we find ourselves with this COVID-19 and the economy and work and adjustments and all of that, is without question there's a tension that can be created. But when you go back and you look at Thomas, I think the church at times, and even as individuals, we live in a tension of the already and the not yet. And at times, we can get caught up into, let's say, the old man. And remember that it says in the scriptures that when we accepted Christ, that old man died. And what happened was, that old man was crucified on the cross. Jesus was crucified for us. Jesus was crucified as us. And even the greater mystery, we were crucified right there with him. But as Archbishop Jones at times has spoken so eloquently about what it means to be in Christ, that at times that old man screams at us for attention. He screams at us for attention. And yet we are reminded to say not to pay attention to that old man because that old man has died. And yet sometimes we can look at Thomas and think, what happens if at times I can get caught up into tension or being perplexed or overwhelmed or irritated or angry or frustrated, maybe even to the point of I'm wondering about my faith. I even think somewhat of Peter. Peter, who, remember, he was the alpha dog. He wouldn't take anything off of everyone, of anyone. He was the strong guy. He would say, I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, you know what? As surely as the cock will crow tonight, you will deny that you even know me 3 times. And so there's a tension that we live in, a tension of believing and wanting to believe. And yet, at times, looking at the situation, circumstances in which we find ourselves, and there can be a bit of a struggle. And the Lord knows that. He knows that battle that goes on within our hearts. And remember, I've shared with you many, many times that old Indian proverb that whatever we are filled up with, when we are bumped, will spill out. And so I think what I think of in this passage, and I hope that it's encouraging for each of you, as I look at these scriptures, is one of my prayers is that each and every morning, the first thing that I want to do when I wake up is to show up. Is to show up for the one who is waiting for me. The one who assures me that I am in him. And the path that is being walked out, he has already placed the steps that I will be walking out in him. And I will not, we will not be left in Sheol. Our bodies will not see corruption. And we will be, and already are, the already not yet seated at the right hand in him, where there's pleasures and joy forevermore. And if I've had to go quickly through this, I'm hoping that you'll be able to make some connections and the Lord will bless you with a word of encouragement that even in the midst of perplexity or doubt, there can be so much hope because the Lord knows that and he comes to visit us right in those moments. If we recognize that every single time that old man screams at us, the Lord is just waiting for us to show up because he's right there ready to embrace us, remembering to tell us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so let me just conclude by declaring another psalm over you, a psalm that you're very familiar with, and just a bit of a paraphrase. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I truly shall not want. Because you provide all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And you will make me to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, because it's there that you restore and strengthen and refresh my soul with your word, with your truth, with your presence. And you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You lead me in paths that always lead to you. I just need to keep showing up. And even at times if I feel like I'm walking in shadows, I'm walking in that dark valley, you assure me that your rod and your staff, your presence will always be there to protect me, to guide me, to assure me, and to know that that valley only goes on for a short period of time. But even there, you are right there with me because I'm in you. And not only that, you set a table, a feast for me to dine at with you. Even in the presence of my enemies, the world, my own flesh at times, and the enemy on my soul, and you give me a feast. Might that be the Eucharist? And you anoint my head with oil for healing. And then on top of that, my cup overflows. What if that cup that overflows is overflowing with the blood of Christ? What if that's the cup that overflows and washes us and cleanses us and strengthens us? And what about our legacy? What is it that will follow us? We sometimes think about the importance of having a legacy. And what if part of our legacy is going to be, we will have so many testimonies of God's chesed, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his kindness, his strength, his courage, his joy, his peace. That is what will follow us. That will be our heritage. That is what we will leave behind as we continue to move in this journey. Even in the midst of circumstances that sometimes can befuddle us, and see the value of interceding and praying for other family members or co-workers, for neighbors, for relatives, for our nation, for its leaders, that we will remember, especially as a church and as Christians, who we are, where we're going, where we're seated. It's a place of joy, peace and union forevermore. May the Lord bless you and keep you, his face shine upon you, and may he grant you his peace. Amen.
Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I miss playing. I also miss words. I miss the time where we give words, so it was wonderful today. Yeah. I don't know. Lord, wash away my iniquities and cleanse me from my sinfulness. Amen. Thanks, DJ. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And so let us pray to the Father in the words that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Behold God's love for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, we praise you that in these holy gifts there is healing for body, soul, and spirit. Though I am not worthy to receive you, only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Amen.
So again, there's two cups. I don't know if you want to do, if you want to even receive from the cup, or if you want to do intinction, I'll grab the other cup. Or if you want to receive. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation.
Amen.
So as Jason is cleaning that up, I pray for all of us, but I also pray for any and everyone who will be here today, as well as anyone who will be listening, or not only to those words that I believe the Lord gave me, but also anything today. And we just pray for all who would be in need or concern for their safety, especially when it comes to this COVID. So as we make this declaration, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Therefore, we forbid any sickness or disease to come upon your bodies. Every disease, germ, virus, COVID virus, flu virus, pneumonia, harmful bacteria, fungus, infection, venom, poison, parasite, inflammation, allergen that would touch your body would begin to die instantly in the name of Jesus. That every organ and tissue, bone and system of your bodies would function in the perfection which God has created them to function. And therefore we forbid any malfunction in your bodies in the name of Jesus. We pray for any who would be unduly stressed or panicked, fearful for the Lord's peace to come upon them. As a result, if there's any chemical imbalance, for all that to be brought back into perfect alignment. We pray for clarity of thought if there's any confusion. And we pray for a strengthening in everyone's spirit. And we declare all of this through the precious blood of Jesus and in his holy name as a divine physician and mighty healer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember the poor, be kindly affectionate one to another, and may the watchful care of the Father, the quiet confidence of the Son, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with those and those you love and care for, now and forever. Amen. Amen.